The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Get our Bibles and go turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to be zeroing in on verses 26 and 27 today. While you all are turning there, deception. Wow, deception. It's an unfortunate reality, but it is a reality in our world today. For 6 years, starting back in 1877, some of you may be familiar with the name Black Bart. Black Bart committed 28 robberies, wearing a flour sack over his head, brandishing a shotgun, and always demanded, "Will you please throw down your treasure box, sir?" I love it when robbers are polite. He was wounded in his last robbery. He dropped, the story goes, he dropped his handkerchief with the laundry markings FX07, which they were actually able to trace to San Francisco, where the police made one of the most surprising arrests in city history. Black Bart, the stagecoat robber, turned out to be Charles Bolton, one of San Francisco's leading citizens with close ties to the police department. He had a reputation as a non-smoking, non-drinking, God-fearing man with big business interests in gold mines. The citizens of San Francisco were duped into deception, deceived by someone who had the appearance of one life but was living an entirely different one. Here in 2019, almost 2020, and this is the same story. All around the world, it's the same song, isn't it? We see deception all over the place. Social media, see it on the internet, see it in the media. We see it with a lot of our country's leadership, where we find out that some of our leaders, people that we think are those that are in high places with good character, turned out to not be the people we thought they were. One of the things that's unfortunate, though, is we find the same thing, unfortunately, in the church. Deception in the church is actually not something new. It's been there during the time of the apostles, and it's been there throughout all of church history. The reality of it is this: we are not going to be thinking we are being deceived, and we are not going to think that they are deceivers. See, that's the trick here. That's the trick when it comes to deception. You don't think you're being deceived. Why? Because if you didn't think that you were being deceived, you wouldn't be being deceived. And if you didn't think, and you, the problem is you're not going to think that the person who's deceiving you is a deceiver. Why? Because if you thought that he was a deceiver, you wouldn't, or if you knew that he was a deceiver, you wouldn't be deceived by the deceiver. Because you know he's a deceiver. Talk about the devil coming in as an angel of light. Why in the world would the devil come in as an angel of light? If his whole goal is to deceive, he doesn't want to come walking into the church dressed in red spandex with horns and a pitchfork. Okay? He comes walking in like that, we're probably not going to listen to any investment ideas that he presents. Probably not. Some of us might, but most of us probably not. See, here's that's the thing. That's the trick about deception. We're not going to think that we're being deceived. Not going to think it. And we're not going to think that they are deceivers. And family, the reality is, from the early church times, the ancient church, we see that there were false teachers all over the place, and there continues to be false teachers even today in the evangelical Christian world. And some people have done studies to actually say that in now the 21st century, we are finding that there are more heresies in our world today than ever in all of church history combined. This is amazing to me. But today it's interesting how we don't seem to act like there's many of them out there. But for some, when we talk to even some, when I even talk to some people about this deception and about false teachers and things in the world, some, they just don't know. But this is the one thing that I struggle with. They don't want to know. Here's the other one. Some don't care. And here's what's even more troubling. Some don't want to care. It's amazing to me just how true the scripture that Paul gave to Timothy, where he was talking about how people in the last days, they're not going to put up with sound doctrine, but they're going to surround themselves with teachers who are going to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Of course we like this stuff. It's what we want to hear. I love to hear what I want to hear. When visitors come to visit the church, do you know what I want to hear? We love to hear what it is that we want to hear, even to the point of being deceived. Family, deception is there, and there is wandering from the truth, and it's happening all over the place. The question is today, how can we be safe from this? This is what we're going to find out today. 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 to 27. The Word of God says, I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as He taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. Father, we pray that we will be transformed by your truth. God, we just thank you that your word will accomplish its purpose today in our hearts. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you can see, the scripture today is going to be pretty fun. The first thing we're going to look at today is how deception is a reality. We've got to make sure that we got that. Deception is a reality today, and we've got to be prepared to meet it when it comes. The second thing we're going to see is how we have the unction, the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us to meet the deception and win. Man, we've got to win, right? And finally, we're going to see how life and life more abundant that we ultimately want is going to come to us when we abide in Christ and in Christ alone. So again, the thesis statement today, which is me trying to sum up the entire sermon in one sentence, though we are prone to wander because of the flesh, and the plan to cause us to wander away by the patterns and philosophies of this world, family, we are able to stand firm because we have an anointing that teaches us the truth. And when we know the truth will make us free. We find freedom in the truth. So, number one, deception. Those who want to lead you astray. So we've been looking at the characteristics the last couple of weeks of the false teachers. This is what John is giving us. And the false converts, or the antichrists, that John will refer to them as the antichrist. We've seen this over the last couple of weeks. And the first point that he made was, you will know who these people are because, number one, they're going to depart from the faith. That's what they're going to do. They're going to leave the faith. So they're going to leave to show that they weren't actually Christians in the first place, right? So we talked about that. John is making a very, very important point, which is the reason why I gave that saying that I'm hearing a lot of people saying, especially the children, are saying it over and over and over again, stars don't fall, they shine. If you see a star fall, it's not a star, right? Okay. So that's number one. The second point that he made, which was what we talked about last week, is they would depart from the faith. And the other thing is, they would also deny the faith. They're going to deny everything or some of the things that Christ said, especially what he said about himself. And finally, today, so they depart from the faith. Second point, they would deny the faith. And today we will see that they desire to deceive those who are in the faith. So they depart, they deny, and they deceive. That is a serious, serious thing. The thing is like departing, that's one thing. Denying, that's one thing. It affects them and it affects them alone. But this deceiving thing, you know what that means? That means they're going to go down the hole and they're going to take you with them. That's why it's serious. They're not content to just go down the rabbit hole on their own. They want to take you with them. I think this is amazing. The Greek word that he uses here is planao, and it's translated deceive, or in some of your translations will say led astray. What does it mean? It means to cause someone to believe an untruth, to mislead, or to cause to wander. Planao. Do you know what that is? We get our word planet from planao. We get the word planet. Oh, what does planet have to do with deception or anything? The interesting thing about the planet is literally what it means is a wandering body. Wandering. Here's the other one that's scary about this, is we also get the English word plan from planao. It's a means, a method to that's devised for making or doing something or to achieve an end. So I bring all that up to say, what is the idea of this Greek word being used here? It's the idea that there are people out there who are planning and scheming to cause you to wander from the truth. That's the picture he's painting here. They're planning, they are scheming out there to cause you to wander from the truth. Family, this is the weapon of the evil one. It is. I mean, the issue is here, John is giving them a warning. They have not been deceived yet, but he is warning them that there are people out there that are going to try to cause them to wander from the truth. This is the weapon of the evil one. Trying to deceive. Again, they have not succeeded, but they are planning to make an attempt at some point. So it's showing that it is possible for Christians to be deceived by false teachers. That's why John is giving us a warning. He is warning us that they're out there. And it's there. It continues to be there. Again, they have not succeeded yet, but they're out there, and they are there planning and scheming to make an attempt. It's amazing. It's amazing to me, how this happens. It's a reality. I was just having a conversation with one of my friends just a couple days ago, and he was talking about a mutual person that we know, and he's all upset with God because he was told that he would be healed of his cancer if he gave $1,000 to this ministry. Okay, and so he's mad now at God, and he wants nothing to do with Jesus. Now, again, family, we laugh at that, but this is actually happening. It's happening to people out there. They are being deceived. They're being deceived. They are being taught things that's not true. And family, it's funny how sometimes I have conversations, a lot of times, with people who are wrestling and struggling with their faith, wrestling and struggling with what they believe. And a lot of times when I listen to them talk about what it is that they believe, none of the stuff that they believe is true. So of course I can see why you're upset with God right now. Because if you believe that if you gave $1,000 to a ministry and you would be healed of all your ailments and it didn't happen, I could see how you would be upset. Couldn't you? I could see that. You know, McDonald's promises me a great cheeseburger if I give them $2. If they give me a cheeseburger that has no burger in it because they think I'm like some kind of vegetarian or something, I'm going to be upset. so I could see it. But what is that? It's deception. There are people out there trying to deceive you to cause you to wander from the truth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 is what we'll deal with in the next chapter. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. They can also, here's the other one too, and this is the one that I personally am more susceptible. They can be deceived by false teachers. You can even, did you know this, deceive yourself. This is the one I fall into. This is my trap here. 1 John chapter 1, 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We can deceive ourselves. You know, a lot of times, it happens. We believe something about ourselves that's not true. A lot of times it happens, you know, when I'm getting ready and I've been working out a lot and you look in the mirror. We deceive ourselves. Not only that, but the devil, Satan, is a primary deceiver. It's the deceit. He's the counterfeit. He is a deceiver. It is his very nature. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. So we see all of this. We see his work that he did with Eve in the garden and how he questioned what God has said. So we see that ultimately it's the enemy who's behind all the false teaching and spiritual deception that happens, because our struggle is not carnal, right? There's all kinds of spiritual warfare that's happening. But we've got to understand that even Jesus warned us about this. Matthew 24, verse 24, for messiahs are false prophets. False messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, even possible, even God's chosen one. That means is ultimately they are not going to be victorious over God's elect. But it's going to be so amazing, it's going to be so great, that they're going to deceive. What is the point when it comes to deception? You are not going to think you are being deceived. That's the point of it. So when people are just like, well, Shane, I believe this stuff, but you know, everything is good, everything is fine. I'm like, well, do you realize that you're being deceived, that what you're being told is a lie? No. Because when you're deceived, you don't think you're deceived. I mean, think about it, right? If somebody came up to you and just be like, hey, I got some words of encouragement for you, and it's all a lie. And so I want to give it to you. Can I tell you? It's all a lie, but I'm going to tell you. How many of us would be like, great! I would love to put my bank account on what it is that you're going to tell me. We don't walk into this stuff. We are deceived because we don't think it's deception. We think that it is true. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil people and imposters will flourish. Do you see that? This is in the first century here. He's saying they're going to flourish. There's going to be a lot of them. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. You see, Jesus is even warning us about this. Jesus is warning us. John talks about this in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, and we got people today that call themselves prophets, to lead my servants astray. That's what she's doing. She's wanting to deceive individuals. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat foods offered to idols. So she is deceiving them in such a way that it causes them to act in certain behaviors. So there's deception that's happening. We're being warned about this stuff. We're being warned about the reality. And so the readers are being targeted. So what John is talking about is being targeted by the Gnostics. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get them, attract them to their teaching and to get them away from the message which they heard from the beginning. Now, man, that's a powerful thing. We got to understand that this is a powerful thing, especially in our culture today. Because if I can convince you to believe in my ministry, You will support my ministry. And how do you support ministries? Because it's always like, we love that you support our ministry. We want you to support our ministry with prayer. We love prayer. But we also need your financial support. So is there a lot to gain by deceiving people? Yeah. We got one right now that we know of that made the news. Just with all the false teaching and all that stuff that you hear, he is now trying to get his congregation or ministry supporters to support him because he wants to buy a third private jet. The first two he's got's not good enough. He needs the latest and greatest. Family, yeah, is there a lot to gain from deception? Absolutely, there is. So you got to understand, you got to believe that this is there. It's out there. They're trying to get them to not believe in what they were taught in order for them to abandon what they were taught, to believe what it is that they are believing so that we can follow and support that ministry. That's ultimately the goal. That's what you saw with the Gnostics, and this is what John was trying to protect them from. You stay with the message. You stay with that. You stay with the message that you have heard. And that's what it is for pastors and leaders in churches today. We are urging the congregation, we're urging our members to stay with the message that they had heard. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's when the false teachers come, make you believe that there's something wrong with it and pull you away from it. You know, oh yeah, well, you know what? I was listening to that old Pastor Shane behind the pulpit, and he was talking about how, you know, you need to take joy in your trials of many kind. That's not the God I serve. The God I serve, the God I believe in, he don't make you suffer. He don't give you no trials. He don't give you any of that type of stuff. Go ahead and send me a donation, and I will send you a little booklet that shows you how there is no suffering in this life if you're truly faithful to your Lord. People hear something like that, and it's just like, yeah, that Pastor Shane, yeah, he off. He the false teacher. I'm going to go follow that guy. This is how it happens. I know it seems just so simple, but family, this happens. This happens over and over again. I can't tell you how many times I've been referred to as a Pharisee because I believe this. You know? It's like, hey, Shane, you know, that's the problem with you. You're sticking to these truths. You're just a legalistic Pharisee. And I'm just like, do you even know what a Pharisee is? Do you realize that it's the Pharisees that actually left the faith? That's why Jesus had to correct them. You're calling the wrong person a Pharisee anyway. Family, the message that's already given. Family, the world is filled with all kinds of false doctrine that we're seeing in the pulpit. This is why it's just really difficult for me as a pastor, and I pray and I pray and I pray. This is the reason why I try to discourage too many, you know, when people are involved in too many parachurch ministries. It's just like I pray and I pray and I pray because this stuff is abundant. Paul was right. These things are going to flourish. They're going to be all over the place. There's teaching that's going on behind evangelical pulpits today. Do you realize that some people are actually denying that God knows everything? It's something that's called the openness of God, the God open theology. God is still learning. I'm serious. It's actually being preached in evangelical churches today. It's common for so-called Christians to today deny the inerrancy of Scripture. We have seminaries, popular evangelical seminaries, that deny that the Scripture is inerrant. They think that the Bible is full of error. The Bible is full of errors. The Bible is full of mistakes. Some people deny that Adam is a special creation of God. Some people misunderstand the whole scripture that talks about, you know, do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. They think what Paul is saying there is to don't be drunk on wine, be drunk on the Holy Spirit. And it's led a movement right now where people are feeling like they can be high on the Holy Spirit. And they get high on the Holy Spirit by smoking tiny little wooden crosses. Is there denial of the person and work of Christ? This is a very, very serious thing. There is a popular evangelical church right now where the pastor actually got up and said that he doesn't believe that Jesus is God, or that Jesus was God for the most part of his life. Do you know why he said it? Because this is what he said. He said, because Jesus is supposed to be an example. You know, he's the example that we're supposed to follow. If Jesus was actually God, he wouldn't be a good example to follow because we're not God. So of course he's going to be able to do all of these amazing things because he's God. So that's not a good example for us to follow. So, but if you take the divine out of Jesus and he's just a man, now he's an example for us to follow because he's just like us. Family, that is absolute crazy heresy. But the congregation was just like, that's right! Amen! That's right! When people are just like, oh, I don't know, Shane, it comes to that thing. That's the reason why I'm not saying that the what would Jesus do thing is heresy, but I'm just saying that kind of stuff and that kind of teaching, it contributes to this, contributes to that stuff. I've said it all the time. It's not a matter of what would Jesus do. It's what did Jesus do. That's what we focus on. So you know, we have those types of things where there's a denial, what people are actually denying the deity of Christ. The behind evangelical pulpits today, we have the denial of Jesus' substitutionary atonement on the cross. One of the most important doctrines of Christianity, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. That the God the Father sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. One evangelical pastor said that is absolutely a horrid doctrine for people to believe. That doesn't sound like something to rejoice in. I call that cosmic child abuse. People are today even denying the fact that Christ is the only way to salvation. You know, they're saying, well, yeah, Christ is the way to salvation for you, but not for everyone, really. You know, there's other ways for people to go to heaven. Some deny the necessity of the church in God's plan. Many of the cults even use the word church and they slap it in their name. There's errors concerning even the person and work of the Holy Spirit. All kinds of doctrines of even people denying that Christ is even going to come back. Family, it goes on and on and on. And the reality of this is that it is within evangelical circles. We have a very, very popular evangelical preacher today who is actually in Time magazine that says that God is not going to send anybody to hell. Everybody goes to heaven. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you believe, everybody is going to go to heaven. It's all over the place. It's just, you know, you just hear it, you see it. It's just all types of prophets. How many times, family, have evangelical pastors over the years prophesied the date and time when Christ was going to come back? We're still here. There was a young guy in ministry. He did something that I thought was absolutely genius. He said, I can't remember his name, but you know, if I did remember his name, I wouldn't say it. But large ministry, and this one guy, he had this deal about prophesying the return of Christ. And so he said, on this date, Christ is coming back. And so he went out and he says, I need your support for us to be able to get the word out, to let everybody know. So he was urging them, people to sell their houses, to empty out their bank accounts, to give the ministry their retirement and all that stuff so that they would have the ability to let them know. This ministry was a large ministry. They had property and everything together they were worth like $2 million or something like that. So this guy who is in ministry, and he's, you know, he's an entrepreneur, so he's pretty wealthy himself. What he said to this ministry, he says, look, how positive are you that Jesus is coming back? And we're like absolutely dead set positive. He goes, well, obviously you're making people sell their houses and everything like that. And the ministry leader was just like, yeah. He goes, this is what I want to do. I want to give your ministry, I want to buy the building, the ministry, everything. I want to buy it all for $300,000. I will give you $300,000 right now to buy all your property, which Jesus is coming back, so you're not going to need it anymore. And he goes, you could use this $300,000 to get the word out like you're asking everyone to do for you. Do you think he took it? It's out there. Deception's out there. And the thing is, the sad thing is people are falling into it. And even things of belief structures, things that are happening even within this world, it's not just that. It's coming in and it's affecting the church. And that's one of the things that's really scary. And so what John is wanting us to see, what I want us to see today, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. You know the truth. Hang on to the truth. And this brings us to the next thing, point number two, the unction, the anointing. How can we keep from being deceived by these deceivers? 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. So just as he taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So again, we have the word chrisma, understood anointing, but we come out and we translate it the Holy Spirit because that's essentially what he's saying. And so he's saying that we have the Spirit, he is with us, and we don't need anyone to teach us what is true. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we know the truth. Now let's get this right today. Man, we got to get this right. I remember I came to be at this one church. I came to be in a senior assistant pastor. So which means is that I was one of the pastors that was over other pastors. And so for me, I was over all the pastors and ministries that dealt with people that were under the, or that was 35 and under. And the senior pastor dealt with all the ministries that was 36 and up. That's how it was broke down. So under me, I had the college pastor, I had the children's pastor, I had the youth pastor. Now, I remember sitting in the congregation, I'm listening to the youth pastor preach, and he was preaching a sermon, and I thought the sermon was really good, and I told him, though, that what I would like to do is I'd like to meet up with you, because I'd like to help you with some of your, you know, his theological categories and some of his exegesis, and sit down and talk about the sermon to help him, you know, do a better job theologically. Do you know what he actually told me? He said, you know what, Shane? No, I'm gonna pass on that. I don't need anyone to help me with anything. And he actually quoted the scripture. I have the Holy Spirit, and I don't need anybody to teach me anything. So the meeting that we actually had wasn't optional. And the meeting that we had after that wasn't fun for him. This passage of scripture, people will say this. Look, I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need to learn anything from anybody. I don't need to be taught anything. I don't need any of this stuff. I don't need to talk. This is what he's saying. Family, this is not what John means when he wrote this. And we had to sit down and had to explain to him, this is not what he's saying. John is not saying that because we have the Holy Spirit, we don't need instruction. Because here's the thing, if he actually thought that, he wouldn't be trying to instruct them with this letter. Right? Why, if we didn't need instruction because we have the Holy Spirit, why in the world would God gift the church with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Hello? Why would we have all this stuff? Why in the world would we have a myriad of other scriptures urging us to grow in grace and knowledge if we know everything already? See, this is not what John is saying. You don't need to be taught by people. That which you already know is what he's saying. So what this is allusions to the promise that God had given us. And what John is talking about is exactly what the Holy Spirit was going to do. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 31, 34, Jeremiah 31, 34, what does it say? And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord, and I will forgive their wickedness and will never again remember their sins. We do not need to be taught things about the Lord that you already know. Remember this point. This is the point that John is making from the very beginning. John insists that when he himself writes to them, it's not because he wants to teach them the truth. He's writing to them because they know the truth. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. Let's go back. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. So when it comes to the basic doctrines of Christianity and the gospel, the context is the teaching that Jesus is the Christ. The apostles came, the Holy Spirit has revealed to everybody that Jesus is the Christ. When you all heard the gospel for the very first time, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit impacted your life, where you actually said, you know what, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus is Lord. What he's saying is you don't need someone to teach you that again, especially if it's going to be in a fresh new way. Ooh, you guys get that? I got goosebumps just saying that. Especially when it's a fresh new way. When it comes to the basic doctrines of Christianity and the gospel, the Spirit has revealed to us that Jesus is Lord. So if I'm saying, hey, I think, family, what we need to do is we need to, I've been doing some research and I've been doing some thinking and I've been doing some meditating. And I think what we need to do is we need to revisit this idea as to whether or not it's true that Jesus is Lord. Red flag, right? This is what John is saying. You don't need somebody to teach you about these types of things. You already know the truth of this. And this is what the Gnostics were trying to get from them. You already have the foundation. The foundation was already laid by Christ and the apostles. You know it. You don't need to go back and revisit the foundation and to listen to what these guys are telling you. They're telling you, you need us to teach you the basic truths of Christianity. And John is saying, no, you don't. You already know it. Don't let them deceive you with this. You see how what he's saying here? This is way different than how he was understanding it before. You don't need a teacher. You don't need them to teach the basics of God, Christ, and the gospel. The gospel, Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. If you have somebody that's going to remind you of this truth, great. But if you have somebody that wants to reteach you this truth, you don't need it. There is only one foundation. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the greatest preachers ever, said this: we as Christians are not supposed to receive fresh truth. And he's basically telling his congregation, you hear that, I got some fresh truth for you today. You run. The truth, the faith, has been once and forever delivered to the saints and to the apostles. We have it. We don't need to revisit this stuff. Oh, this whole teaching about Jesus being God, it's not a good example. We need to look at that. We need to revisit that. No, we don't. It's already there. It's already been given. This is why we are not to be led by those who claim to have new and fresh knowledge of the Lord. When this happens, it's meant to lead us astray. This goes against the plain teaching of Scripture. We don't need this from others who claim to be teachers. We do not need teaching that will cause us to wander away from the plain truths that the Lord has already revealed to his people, especially from those who've wandered themselves. And here's the other thing, too. If they're not Christians, they don't know. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. So how in the world are they going to teach you about truth of the Spirit if they don't have the Spirit? That's what he's saying. It's an amazing thing about being a Christian today. Even for those of us that you know, we would say, you know, even for me, it's like I would say that sometimes, especially now that I'm older, my brain is a lot more relaxed than it was before. You would say, hey, I got a relaxed brain. For those of us that may not have the natural abilities of the intellectual realm, the reality is we have the Holy Spirit that will reveal to us and help us to understand and know the truth that counts. This is what I love about Christianity. It's not just for the philosophers or for the intellectually gifted. The faith is for anybody who has the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to cause us to understand and see the glorious nature of the gospel of Jesus. You're going to know what counts. The Gnostic world and the world may see us as simple. They may see us as ignorant. They may dub us as unintelligent. But because we have the Holy Spirit, we will understand things that even the greatest worldly philosopher will never, ever understand. That's why we can say, I was blind, but now I see. This is ultimately the way he's saying, you know these truths. You know that Jesus is the Christ. If you didn't, you wouldn't be a Christian. And you wouldn't have the Holy Spirit. And so here's the last thing I want to say about this. When we hear about the Holy Spirit and his enlightening work about all this stuff, you know, it's really funny to me. Why is it that when we hear the Holy Spirit is going to teach us, the Holy Spirit is going to, why do we tend to go straight to the emotion and the mystical? It's funny. It's just like, well, the Holy Spirit is going to show us. And we just immediately go to, oh, that means I got to get on my knees and sit there and wait. And the Holy Spirit's going to show me. It's just funny to me how we immediately go there. We want to go right to the spiritual or the mystical, you know. And when we say Holy Spirit, we're looking immediately for some inner voice, some movement or shaking in our stomach. Ooh, there you go. That's the Holy Spirit. Or some kind of impression or something like that. Why do we immediately go to this? Let me tell you something, family. Let me just say this and be very, very clear. How does the Spirit show us? How does the Spirit reveal us? How does the Spirit teach us? How does the Spirit do this? It's very simple. It's called the Scriptures. The other thing is we need to understand the work of the Holy Spirit is to not reveal new truths to us, but his work is to illuminate the truths that were already given. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not renewing new truths, but teaching old truths, the old truth of the Scriptures. Because God says that the word that he has given, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will remain forever. Family, we need illumination of those words that are going to remain forever. That's what we need. We should always distinguish the doctrine of revelation from the doctrine of illumination. Revelation is already completed in the Scripture, in the person and work of Christ. Illumination is the ongoing process of the Holy Spirit as he illumines and reveals these truths to help us apprehend it and to comprehend it. One of the most important roles of the Holy Spirit plays in our lives is that of illumination, helping us to understand the Scriptures. Now, again, you say, well, Shane, man, couldn't it be more? You know what? If you know the Scriptures inside and out, backwards and front, and you got it down, then let's talk. You know? This is one of the things I remember a friend of mine saying. He's like, hey, you know what? The Holy Spirit speaks these things to me, but you know what? He will never say anything that will contradict the Word of God. Now, the thing, I would be kind of okay with it, except for the fact that this guy is one of the most biblically illiterate people I knew. he didn't even know that, you know, he didn't even know that the whole idea of the Egyptians being in captivity in Egypt, or not the Egyptians, the Israel being in captive in Egypt, he didn't even know that that was in the Bible. He thought that was just a movie that, you know, DreamWorks made. He just didn't know what was in the Bible, but he always talked to me about how, you know, God tells him all of this kind of stuff. My question to him was, okay, that's fine, but how do you know that what the Holy Spirit just told you doesn't contradict the Bible if you don't know the Bible? Just sorry. I just had to get that off my chest. In the context, John is probably combating false teachers who is bringing their new knowledge, the new thing. So the old maxim that Puritan preachers used to say all the time, if it's new, it isn't true. We should always be wary of those that come in the name of Christ attempting to teach some knowledge. This is the thing that should at least cause us to be uncomfortable when somebody says, hey, I've got this thing that nobody has gotten. God showed me something that nobody saw before. That somehow, some way, Christianity and Christians has missed this over the last 2,000 years. Family, how does the Holy Spirit do this? He does it through the scriptures. You've been taught, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, 2 Timothy 3:15. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, that they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Dr. David Allen from Southwestern Baptist Seminary, he says this, in fact, the Bible is the only true source of sound doctrine. All teaching should be measured by whether it comports with scripture or not. So let's get this right. And then we're going to start to close. Candace, you closing? Let's get this right. I once heard someone teaching, and they're teaching us how to have a fuller relationship with the Lord. This is what was said, and it was so troubling. It said, what you do is you sit down, and you read a portion of Scripture, and you sit there and you wait quietly for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Let me say that again. They said, sit there, read Scripture, and wait for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Do you know what's wrong with that statement? Because if you are reading Scripture, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I just bring this out, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, I stopped it there because I just want you to know. When he said, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, present tense, says, you know what he did? He quoted a scripture. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. If you want to hear words from God, if you want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, it's so simple. You open the Bible and you read, and the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you. Family, point number three as we close, abide in Christ. So you understand this, you see it, you recognize it, so do what he taught you and stay with Christ. Stay with Christ and what the apostles and the Holy Spirit has taught. You don't need to wander away. Stay where you are. Abide in Christ. You know, in a lot of ways, that's what it's all about, isn't it? In John chapter 15, verse 5, John chapter 15, 5, what does Jesus say? Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Why? Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Don't wander from the truth. And wandering away, though, isn't that, though, kind of the issue? Right? I mean, think about it. Isn't that kind of the issue? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53, 6. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. We even sing it in the popular hymn, right? Come thou fount. What do we sing in the third verse? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And you know what else is just right there in and of ourselves? We're prone to wander. But this is where it gets even worse. And it does not help that the world and the evil one has a plan to cause us to wander even more. So we already want to wander, and they have a plan to help us do it. Because it's not enough for them to go into the pit themselves. They want to take us with them. They want to take us with them. And the reality of the deception of the world is there, but there's the reality of this thing called sin. Sin came into this world because of deception, and we're all affected by it, and we are continued to be affected by deception. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And family, the wages of sin is death. This is why he's saying we need to abide in Christ, because it's only in Christ and in Christ alone where there's salvation for us. What is the truth? The truth is, this is why people came. This is what the Spirit revealed to us today. He revealed to us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Spirit revealed to us that Jesus came into this world to seek and save that which was lost. The Holy Spirit and the apostles taught us the gospel of Jesus, which Jesus taught us, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Hold on to it. Don't let anyone take that from you. Don't wander from that truth. This is what John is saying. Don't wander from it. Abide in him. Rest in Christ. Rest in the idea that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't let anyone take that from you. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, believe that that's true. Salvation is there. Don't let anyone take that from you. Oh, I don't know. Let me teach you about salvation. It's not that easy. You know? You have to believe that Jesus is Lord, but you know, you also need to make sure that you're giving to the church regularly. You know, you got to go on a pilgrimage, and you got to do something special for the pastor every month. You don't do any of that, there's no salvation for you. Don't wander from this truth. Abide in Christ, and we will bear much fruit. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Again, family, apart from Christ, we have nothing. And this is why we pray. This is why we sing. Lord, let your goodness, like a fetter, bind our wandering hearts to thee. So today, abide in Christ. Stay connected to Christ today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.